I'm Callie Crossley, and this is Boston Public Radio. There's no shortage of fiscal challenges facing mayors, selectmen, and city councilors in Massachusetts' 300-plus cities and towns. Case in point, pensions, which on average consume about 20% of municipal budgets. If that number sounds like it's out of whack, consider Anthony Flint's assertion in a recent piece for The Atlantic that if current trends continue, over half of every dollar in municipal tax revenue would go to pensions. Flint, a fellow at the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy, a think tank in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and author of a number of books, including This Land, The Battle Over Sprawl, and The Future of America, joins us now by phone. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be here.
So, Anthony, is this the next big financial crisis for cities?
We think a number of us think it is. We thought about illustrating the piece in the Atlantic cities with a picture of a time bomb, but we decided that was maybe a little too aggressive or dramatic. But it really is a kind of a ticking time bomb for local governments. We hear a lot about state pensions. There's about 220 pension systems that are run by state governments. But it's really the local governments, there are many, many more, over 1,000, run by local governments, and they're really struggling. They have a lot fewer options to deal with these pension payouts that are just growing and growing over time.
So you note in your piece that there are 220 state pension plans in place, but nearly 3,200 locally administered pensions. Can you give us examples of around here where there are some locally administered pensions?
Well, of course, the city of Boston does its own locally administered pension plan. That's the biggest example. A number of other cities, mostly larger cities, who are responsible for the public employee pensions, whether they are for teachers or firefighters or any number of other municipal employees. And the first issue with these is that the way that they're invested, of course, like everybody's 401k, it's taken a real beating since 2008. But a lot of the problem here is that these individual cities and towns, through collective bargaining, for the most part, have made these deals, and in some cases, very generous deals to provide these pensions for retired public employees. So they're all struggling sort of a little bit on their own in every case across the Commonwealth.
So there are obvious ways, or maybe not so obvious ways, that cities and towns have tried to handle this by trying to rein in the expenses, cutting back on services from police patrols is an example, shutting off streetlights. That's happened in a couple of cities in Massachusetts for certain, and in other places as well, and laying off employees. It doesn't seem to have made an impact, though, in a serious way to allow for continuing fully funding these pensions and being able to come out on the other side okay.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's clearly unsustainable. All told, and this is research, by the way, that was in a working paper authored by Tracy Gordon, who's from the Brookings Institution for the Lincoln Institute. There's an estimate that it's over $500 billion that are the represent the unfunded pension liability for local governments. So half a trillion dollars, and so the way that this is going to eat up municipal budgets in the future down the road, you know, it's just clearly unsustainable. So the towns have to go back. And they have to go to the unions, and they have to go through a process of negotiation and say, look, we certainly can't keep doing this for new employees. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And then also, we're going to have to go back and cut benefits and reorganize things so that it's more reasonable for the currently retired employees. The state next door that's actually done some interesting things in this regard, of course, Rhode Island, the state treasurer, Gina Raimondo, she has led that kind of negotiating process. And it's tough. It's hard. You know, these folks were promised these pension plans, but it really is a case where the cities and towns have to go back in and kind of deconstruct these very generous pension plans.
Well, you brought up Rhode Island, and there's a new article at Yahoo Finance, talking about 9 states with sinking pensions. Now, we're talking states now, and we want to make a distinction between you've been talking cities and towns, but you reference Rhode Island. Rhode Island is one of them, our neighbor here in Massachusetts. New Hampshire is another, and another state close to us is Connecticut. But let's go back to Rhode Island, because you said that the treasurer there had looked at it and tried to figure out ways of beginning to make reform, and I wanted to articulate some of the specificity of what happened there. So they transformed their pension plans into a hybrid pension and 401k-like plan. They raised the retirement age from 62 to 67, and they limited cost of living expenses. Now, this article makes clear that union lawsuits are still in play here, but the savings from just these reforms, as I've stated, are estimated to reach $3 billion. Now, what could $3 billion do for a state like Rhode Island, whose potential liability funding right now is just at 49%, and they have a total liability of $13.4 billion. So that can make a big difference.
It can make a big difference. I mean, when you're thinking about those numbers, you think, wow, you know, well, it's really only just a start, and it took a lot of work to get there. So it gives you an idea of the challenge of this problem. But what it took was, well, I think first of all, it took some leadership. Gina Raimondo, she's from the private sector. She was in finance, and I think she really understood, how this was, you know, just going to be, you know, the mother of all budget busters, and it was just totally unsustainable. And so I think she looked at that and in a very sort of no nonsense, straightforward kind of way, went to the unions and said, we've got to figure this out together. So it sounds a little bit like a cliche, but it's really what has to happen in order to go back in and make these adjustments and sort of turn the dials on these pension plans with measures like reducing cost of living benefits and so forth. In Rhode Island, they had a particular, I mean, there were some sort of extras. There's double dipping. There's a uniform allowance that's very generous for certain towns' retired firefighters, and you know that's nice. You could see how I guess they you know that some towns would agree to that kind of allowance, but you know it's a couple $100 a month just to keep the uniform clean. And in this day and age, you know, those are the kinds of things that we can just really can no longer afford.
Well, let me just highlight a couple words you used. Now, you said, you know, these are extras, and I think you might be able to get people on both sides, unions and folks who are trying to figure out how to do reforms, to agree on what is extra in a tight economy. But earlier you said reasonable reforms, and you know, reasonable is in the eye of the beholder. So, you know, I mentioned the reforms that Rhode Island is going forward with, like limiting cost of living increases and this hybrid pension 401k and raising the retirement age. And I think maybe a number of people might find that to be reasonable, but there may be other more draconian cuts out of desperation in other places that unions feel justified and fighting back so that they're not the fall guy for bad planning or the economy that's hitting everybody in a worse way.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. You know, this is pretty hard to take for the unions and the public employees who, after all, you know, you go back to the beginning, or the philosophy on this was, if you were in public service, you probably weren't getting paid quite as much as you could in the private sector, and so this is a way of sort of rewarding public service with a pension. Of course, we The private sector has long since abandoned the idea of pensions, and government is only slowly catching up to the idea that they should even provide pensions versus the defined contribution plans, such as the 401k. But these folks were promised these things, and so it's very, very difficult. But I'll tell you, the alternative is the cities and towns just going into bankruptcy.
Mm.
And then the situation is very, very stark indeed.
Is that the worst case scenario?
That is what is happening. It's because the way the numbers pencil out, these municipalities look at it and they say, we're not going to make it, and we can no longer function with these obligations, and so they declare bankruptcy. You've seen this in California, in some other towns in the South, and in those cases, those pension checks, well, they just stop coming.
Mm.
So that is the worst case scenario in that regard, sure.
And there's a town in Mississippi I've heard about as well. What's the best case scenario? Let's try to leave a little up in this grim tale.
No, absolutely. You know, it just has to be a workout. I think Rhode Island has been very successful in negotiating this. Illinois has been a little. The first step, I think, is to sort of face up to the fact that this is unsustainable for cities and towns. And after all, you know, we want to keep our cities healthy in a fiscal sense and in every other regard. So it's really the future health of cities that we're talking about, where so many of us live. And that's the bottom line, recognizing that and taking some leadership to stand up and say, you know, we've got to go back and undo a few things.
Hmm.
And that's always very difficult. You know, I started out the piece in The Atlantic with this notion that, you know, we made some mistakes in cities going back over the years. And an example of that might be urban renewal or the Central Artery or, you know, City Hall Plaza. You might think these are mistakes that we've had to go back in and fix. And I think, in a way, locally administered public pension plans are similar. We just have to go back in and do a little retrofitting.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Anthony Flint, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Anthony Flint is a fellow at the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy, a think tank in Cambridge, Massachusetts. What do you have to say about Anthony's take on pensions and municipal budgets? Join the conversation on Facebook or tweet us at Boss Public Radio. City and town budgets might be something you consider as you head to the polls on election day, but it's just one issue. You can check out more issues, all a part of our 30 issues in 30 days election coverage, online at WGBH.org. From city budgets to neighborhood news and Jamaica Plain, a fight to keep a chain store out, and this time it's not Whole Foods. We'll take you under the radar for a look at the stories that you might have missed this week. I'm Callie Crossley, and this is Boston Public Radio.